Hare Krishna. Yesterday I went to our ISKCON campus, Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir campus, and did parikrama with devotees. I guess there was about 50 of us. It was very, very nice, particularly because it was very recent. Hare Krishna. Because it was a review of recent history. Parikrama means that by visiting sacred sites, we relive pastimes that took place, well, here in Mayapur 500 and some years ago, and in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, and in Ayodhya a couple of million years ago. But here we're reliving pastimes that took place when Srila Prabhupada was with us some dozens of years ago, and since then. And of course, Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's karma stan, and it's as sacred as his lila stan, or as his janma stan. It is lila. It's the preaching lila. And because Srila Prabhupada spent so much time here, because he paced his lotus feet here, because this is the place where the fulfillment of the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other acharyas going back to the very beginning of time is fulfilled, in that not only from here is Krishna consciousness spreading all over the world, but all the devotees from all over the world come to Shridham Mayapur to chant Hare Krishna together. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire that Prithiviti Achyata Nagara Adigram becomes fulfilled in a very condensed way here in Mayapur, and that the residents of all the villages and towns, they all over the world, they come here to chant Hare Krishna, to chant Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name. Just now, devotees are out on parikrama. I haven't gotten around to generating enough energy after the meetings and everything to do that. But yesterday we did this parikrama, and it was very nice. We started first with Srila Prabhupada's rooms in the Lotus Building. There's so much history there. I used to go there when Srila Prabhupada had darshan, 76, especially 77 less, and although there were hundreds and hundreds of devotees here, not as many as there are now, but there were many. Sometimes there were just a few people in the room, and Srila Prabhupada would interact with them. I would see how Prabhupada. I remember once when the temple president of Toronto Temple came, and he was showing Srila Prabhupada plans for the deity room. Any devotees who've gone to Toronto know that it's very big. It's like almost the size of a temple itself, because it's inside of a church hall, which in itself is huge, cavernous. And And I knew Prabhupada himself went to see that place. He really wanted that place. And when he wanted it at all costs. In fact, he was interesting pastime. Srila Prabhupada was went to see it, and he was informed that well, the church who actually owned it, there was a church before, they didn't want to sell it to Hare Krishnas, and it was so expensive. So actually, I think that may have been before Prabhupada saw it. So Prabhupada told the temple president, no, don't, better not over-endeavor. It's not too good for us to over-endeavor. But then Prabhupada went to see it. And then when he see it, then he told the temple president, no, you should get this temple at all costs. He said, well, Prabhupada, you said that we shouldn't over-endeavor. He said, that's true, but over-endeavoring for Krishna, that's not bad. So we should get it anyway. Anyway, we did get the temple. And I remember when we were sitting there, and once again, there were just a few devotees there in the room. And Srila Prabhupada was so pleased that, number one, the temple was gotten, that they were making these elaborate plans to worship the deities there. So he had this... Prabhupada couldn't stop smiling. He was so pleased. So while the temple president was talking, Srila Prabhupada just was smiling and smiling, and he was looking at the plans. And so that was something that stayed with me as something that devotees and Vaishnavas aspire for, is to make Srila Prabhupada smile like that, to please Srila Prabhupada in that way. Anyway, I don't want to get just tied up in that room, but a lot of things were there. I remember when, again, there was just a few devotees, and Rabindra Swarup Prabhu came in. And Prabhupada told him that he wanted him to finish his PhD so he could preach to academics and so on. So he was Srila Prabhupada directly instructing someone, yes, they should finish their diploma at university. Anyway, from there, we went around clockwise around the TOVP towards Srila Prabhupada's samadhi. And I told devotees how the present Shringasan of Vyasasan, Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan, was the original Vyasasan. It was the original Vyasasan that was in what is now the Diorama Museum. And and there was a beautiful, it was very nice and very nice and intimate setting in that temple room, which was, of course, much, much, much smaller than the present one is. And on one side was the Vyasasan, the other side was a little altar with little deities, Radha Madhav and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srila Prabhupada after kirtan, or I can't remember when it was, after deity greeting, he would walk around, and he had there with these big bells, and Prabhupada liked to ring these big bells. He would stand there, and they were on both sides of the deity room, and Prabhupada would ring them three times. Anyhow, then we went past the Conch building, which was the next building that was built, of course, after the temple. First there was the Conch building, and then the Radha Madhava's temple was built between the two. And the Conch building is where the GBC meetings take place. Originally, the GBC meetings took place in the Lotus building downstairs on the first floor, but then since 1985, 86, they've been upstairs, and that's history. It's where the sort of shape and form of the international Krishna consciousness movement is made and determined, and still those meetings take place there. And then we walked towards the southeast corner, and from there I told devotees some stories about where used to be the Gurukula. For quite some years, myself and Govinda Maharaj used to live in a mud hut there. Actually, it wasn't even a mud hut because there was no mud. The only mud was on the floor. There were no walls. It was just some bamboo, light bamboo fixtures on some of the walls. And it was a real nice experience of what it means to actually live outside. I don't know if I'd do it again. I was constantly sick when we were doing that at that time. But nonetheless, it was a very, very good good experience, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how for most part all the villagers still continue to live, except for a few who can afford brick houses. And of course we're walking around the TOVP, where we ended up going inside later on. That was the last part of our parikrama. We went past the generator house. That's also quite an important place, because especially in days gone by, most of the time one wouldn't get proper electricity. And many a time I remember sitting in the GBC room in meetings in the darkness, or just with a few little lights, because there were no supplemental lights. So now, of course, devotees enjoy electricity almost all the time. As soon as the mains cuts out, the generators cut in, and that's where they cut in from. And the Temple of Vedic Planetarium has their own full generator system. In fact, what was a mystery to me, namely the sort of uncompleted building beside the Chakra building, that is going to be the generator house for the TOVP, which even makes one more concerned about how we're going to have peaceful GBC meetings. This year, a Russian Sankirtan group with 10 plus volume amplification held kirtans 12 hours a day right at, underneath the Conch building, and therefore that was what we were hearing all the time. Constant kirtan in the GBC room. Sometimes it was very difficult to be heard. Can we make this just a little bigger, this garland? And then we went to the samadhis of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Tomar Krishna Maharaj, Gaur Govindaswami Maharaj. We had opportunity to offer obeisances there. And the samadhis, of course, one makes samadhis for saints. And here was once again a testimony of Srila Prabhupada's greatness, that whereas when we go on parikrama and we see the samadhis of great Vaishnavas past, of course not to make comparison with them, but the tradition of respecting saints is not one to die out, but it continues on here in the ISKCON campus. I showed everybody the Prasadam Hall, which was about the only venue that devotees, when we came in the mid-70s, could really relate to, and that was Prasadam. And so I remember devotees queuing up quite a bit early, or before lunchtime, in order to be in on the first shift for Prasadam. Although in the very beginning, the Prasadam was very, very spicy. And as a result of that, well, devotees were generally always sick. That was the Dharma. That's what it meant to come to India. You came here, after you didn't come here to be sick, but when you came here, you got sick. It was just a matter of going from one thing to another, whether it was catching colds and or having dysentery. And of course, there was no hospital, no doctors, no medicine, unless you brought it with you. Then I showed them of course, devotees know where the shops are along the wall. Well, that was the original accommodation that we had when we first came. The long building wasn't there. Yes, I forget to mention the long building as well. Long building wasn't there at that time, and neither were any other buildings present. There was nothing, what to speak of, not on our campus. There wasn't a building between Mayapur, Chandradwaya Mandir, and Yogapit. Now, of course, there are so many buildings, temples, and so on, all by, of course, Srila Prabhupada's grace. And we used to leave in very, very little rooms. How big were they? 10 square meters, 100 square feet, 10 devotees. And I told one story that when I came first in 1976, I thought I'd be very creative and save on carrying things. And at that time, 76, 77, all the devotees came, at least all the devotees from North America and Europe, came on one airplane. We leased Air India 747, and so the airplane went from Los Angeles to New York, New York to London, and everyone got on the plane. So we had a full plane of devotees. It was very nice. In fact, I remember when we had big kirtan, probably it was Mangal Arti, on the plane, and the devotees were up chanting, and the pilot and the plane was swaying back and forth. So the pilot had to send a message that everyone had to go sit down because it was disturbing, risking the airplane. So, of course, there was no internet at that time, but somehow I saw advertised what the astronauts used, a little blanket that folded up to the size of a, I don't know, handkerchief. And it was just special aluminum foil, and it was meant to, and you wrap it around yourself, use it as a blanket, and it keeps in your body heat. So of course I forgot that I don't have any body heat to keep in, so that didn't quite work for me. But also it was another problem for all the 9 devotees in the room, because every time I moved, then it's crinkled, you know, with aluminum foil, that noise that it makes. So it was, devotees were complaining, and one morning when I woke up, it was gone, and I had this chatter on me. Someone had taken it away, and I don't know, they destroyed it or something. So we were, but it was extremely austere. There was one pump to bathe in, and one toilet for the men and one toilet for the women, and that was it. That's how. But we came because Prabhupada wanted us to come, and Prabhupada also sent devotees. He wanted devotees to go. Not only we were going parikram here, but different places. I remember some devotees went to go to Hyderabad, to the opening of the Hyderabad temple, which took place between the Mayapur and Vrindavan parikramas. And then from Mayapur, we'd go to Vrindavan. Anyway, the next place we went to was Prabhupada Bhajan Kutir. And that was... That's such a wonderful place. That was where Srila Prabhupada lived, along with his male associates. There was no room for ladies here at that time. Sannyasis, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Uchuknanda Maharaj, Jai Pataka Maharaj. Prabhupada was on one side, they were in the other. In the morning they would get up. It was one common toilet, one water pump to bathe in, and Prabhupada lived like the rest of us. Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me how when he was sleeping outside on the steel, because once they started building the lotus building, all the building materials were there, so in order to make sure they didn't get stolen, then devotees were sleeping on top of the building material. And so once he was out there and sleeping, and he felt someone kicking him, and it was Prabhupada, and Prabhupada woke him up. He said, "You're snoring." He said, stop snoring." So he went back to sleep, and again Prabhupada came out kicking him. He said, "You're snoring." There was also another incident where when Srila Prabhupada was out there with the devotees, that's what Prabhupada at least once made that statement, that the most pujaris are the most fortunate devotees. They have the best service because they're directly engaged already in serving Krishna. And then we had a tour of a temple of Vedic planetarium. That went on for an hour. And that was very enlivening for the devotees. And then everyone went their way. And we went to have a little lunch. And that was yesterday's parikrama. Hare Krishna.